out of a bowl. Marco was lying full length, peering through the leaves at the men on the beach. They had lit a fire and were cooking something. Silver nodded at her and did something to the dumbwaiter's controls. "I already ate," sighed Kin. "Some sort of grain meal and dried fish, didn't you see?"
"I was, in fact, programming for an emetic."
Marco turned over. "You ate food without even a rudimentary analysis? Do you wish to die so soon?" "We need their trust," said Kin. She tossed a sliver of fish to Silver. "I'll take your damn potion, but hold that under the waiter's nose. You know waiter food always tastes like somebody already ate it. While we're here, we might as well have full stomachs." She took a bowl of pink fluid from Silver's paw and retired to the other side of the clearing, where she was briefly and noisily sick. Silver reached up and dialed the waiter for coffee. Presently the machine extruded a tongue of green plastic. She tore it out and read it.
"High on usable protein and vitamins," she said. "There is a hydrocarbon content from the drying process, which may be carcinogenic in the long term, but it appears to pose no great risk."
"Great," said Kin, helping herself to coffee. "Suddenly I feel I could never look another dried fish in the face. Now, are you ready for the big answers? As far as I can understand it, the small red-haired man calls himself Leif Erikson." Silver flicked the green printout neatly into the machine's intake hopper.
"That is a remarkable coincidence or something else," she said calmly.
"You're not kidding." Marco turned back from his surveillance. "What is coincidental?" he said. "Did you observe their weaponry? They have swords made out of bog iron, hand-beaten, easily blunted," said Kin thoughtfully. "Their greatest weapon is their boat. Are you familiar with the term clinker-built?" He nodded. "Good. It means nothing to me. They're fast. These people rule a large part of the sea with those boats and those swords. Sometimes they are pirates, but they've got a sophisticated system of law. They're brave. A 1,000-mile journey in a boat like that is commonplace." Marco stared at her. "You learned all that?" "No, all I understood was his name, and only because I've heard it before. It's all from memory." She looked at Silver for confirmation. The Shand nodded.
"In the year 322, she intoned, "Erikson sailed the ocean blue."
"Very poetic," said Marco levelly. "Now, will you please explain?"
"If you were raised in Mexico, you wouldn't have heard about this," said Kin. "They're snobbish about their history down there. Leif Erikson," she began to outline Earth's history, "discovered Vinland more than 300 years after the Battle of Hyalcor had ended the third and last Riemann Empire. The big migration followed automatically. The Turks were again pushing west and north. Leif's father, Erik, was a shrewd salesman. His Greenland had turned out nowhere like as green as it had been in his imagination. But from Vinland, Leif had thoughtfully brought rich berries and wild grains. The Northmen went west again. They leapfrogged colony after colony down the eastern seaboard, up into the base rugged lands around Tyker's Sea, and down the long fjord into the Middle Seas. It was the landscape of their dreams. They called it Valhalla. There were natives, but the newcomers were only half-hearted farmers. Underneath the agricultural veneer, they thought bloody. Those tribes they couldn't outfight, they outthought. When they met the Ojibwa Confederacy, they made treaties, and they spread and merged. By all the theories, it should have ended there. Neither the natives nor the invaders had the textbook kind of social dynamic that builds reams. The Northmen should have become just another tribe, with blue eyes and fair hair. The theories were wrong. Something latent in both races was sparked into fire. It was a big continent, and it was rich. In short, 300 years after Leif, a fleet arrived at the mouth of the Mediterranean. Most of the vessels were under sail, although there were one or two, small, fast, and inclined to blow up, that could move into the wind. The sails of the big ships bore the great eagle of Valhalla on a striped background, alternating the colours of the sky, the snow, and blood. The Battle of Gibraltar was short. Europe had been through 200 years of stagnation. There was no answer to cannon.
"I take the point," said Marco. "This Leif is an important figure in Earth history. This is not, however, Earth.